Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Life's gonna be a hit or a real mess. What could you, my doubtful friend? Skies up and high, once crystallized blue. Breathless space with life was full.
Says children's lives carefree. Some must stare from the concrete grave. Feeding eyes of joy will ne'er see. Hate not, love is the only way.
Life is cheap, but there's a high price. You can't spare one penny more.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, the half-hour show of Scottish topics and music. I'm Andrew McDermott, your host. Thanks for joining me today. Our opening music was a catchy Gaelic tune called Coma Co You from Kilmarnock Edition. On this episode, an interview with Jock Gallagher, author of Scotland's Global Empire, A Chronicle of Great Scots. Gallagher chats with us about why he decided to write his book, and he'll discuss some of the many Scots he highlights in his work. As you listen, take a moment to connect with me online. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/simplyscottish, or send us a tweet, @simplyscottish is our handle. You can also email us at simplyscottish.com. As a reminder, the show is available on iTunes, on the Celtic Radio Network at celticradio.net, and at our website, simplyscottish.com, where you can access the shows, playlists, music, and more. Scottish Memories is Scotland's premier nostalgia magazine, a must-read for anyone with a passion for the country and its people. Every month, Scottish Memories offers a comprehensive range of in-depth articles and reader recollections, celebrating the best of Scotland, past and present. In addition to nostalgia, you'll find an events guide, attraction reviews, and a popular Beautiful Scotland travel section that gives readers the info they need to get out and about and enjoy everything Scotland has to offer. Subscribe to the magazine in physical or digital format at www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. That's www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. Let's kick things off with more music. From their 2012 album Break It Up, here's up-and-coming traditional band Rura with The New Yorker.
Thank you.
You're listening to Simply Scottish. I recently caught up with Jock Gallagher, whose latest book is a well-researched and well-presented account of great Scots and their achievements across the world. It's called Scotland's Global Empire, released by Whittles Publishing, based in Caithness, Scotland. Although it includes highlights of famous Scots, the book's strength is its coverage of the vast array of lesser-known Scots and their staggering number of contributions to the world. Gallagher, a journalist and former producer at the BBC, chats with us about why he wrote the book and shares a few highlights of his work with us. So, back to the basics then, what made you want to write a book recounting Scottish achievement throughout the world?
Well, to be honest, I'm not really conscious of ever actually wanting to write a book. But it became more or less an inevitability because I'd amassed so much information about the Scottish diaspora over the 50-odd years that I've been a journalist. I've got all these notes in my reporters' notebooks and hundreds of fading newspaper clippings, but I never really intended putting them into a book. And then I saw a quote from Voltaire. We looked to Scotland for all our ideas of civilization. And that led me to another quote, this time from Winston Churchill. Of all the small nations on earth, perhaps only the ancient Greeks have passed the Scots in their contribution to mankind. Now, these thoughts not only intrigued me, but they also sort of confirmed my own patriotic egotism, I think I would call it, that allows me to believe that we Scots have punished well above our weight in our contributions to the world. So I think I set out to do nothing more and stitch it all my stories together into a kind of patriotic mosaic.
And it sounds like your skills and experience as a journalist help you do that.
Well, the book is a pure product of journalism, really. It simply wouldn't have happened without that experience.
Sure.
I actually came by most of the information through being what I like to think a good reporter, not to mention, of course, a lot of natural curiosity, nosiness, I suppose, plus a fairly fierce Scottish pride.
Mm-hmm.
The book's effectively a sort of series of reports that I might have produced for one newspaper or another.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope this sticks together well enough to make it a good read.
So where did you go for your research, and where did you find some of the information that you include?
Really, again, my journalistic background. I have all these notebooks and so on. And then I resorted to reading endless books. You'll see from the bibliography that I, you know, credit a lot of the books that I got information from, plus multiple editions of encyclopedias and Who's Who and so on.
Well, the empire building you recount in your book, as you say, is the good kind, without the greed, ruthlessness and condescension that has marred other empires.
Yeah.
What makes Scots and their global empire different?
This Scotland's global empire is a figment of my imagination. So I felt free to imbue the empire with what I think are idealistic qualities. I filtered out all the rogues, of course, and there were many. But I did that so that I could concentrate on all the success stories. It's actually much more satisfying writing about successful people. And as I think you can see from the book, Scotland has had more than its fair share.
I think it looks like one of your biggest challenges with this book must have been how to organize the content. You've got chapters such as Nobel Scots, Messages and Messengers, and Waiting in the Wings. Can you discuss a little bit the challenges and rewards of ordering the book the way you did?
I'm relieved you think it is organized. the sheer weight of material made it very difficult to keep a structure. I found it kept slipping away from me, and it was really only the reporter's doggedness that kept things in some sort of shape. I also, I think, had to accept some fairly savage self-imposed restraints.
Uh-huh.
I excluded, for example, all these great Scots who were already featured extensively in the history books, Andrew Carnegie, John Paul Jones, Alexander Graham Bell, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think it would be difficult to say much more about them that isn't really well known already.
Sure.
I also decided to avoid getting embroiled in royal lifelines. The complexities of Scotland's monarchy are way beyond me. And a fair number of them weren't even Scots anyway. So I actually came down to including only first-generation Scots and only those whose achievements have been recognised beyond Scotland. But that's left me with plenty of scope, and I've been able to include about 1,000 mini pen portraits.
Uh-huh.
So I'm quite happy with that.
Oh, yeah. So notable for those you leave out as well as those you include. But
yep.
I think you made some great choices with that.
Well, that's very kind.
So of all the people, places, and events that you detail in the book, can you name a few that intrigued you or surprised you?
As a journalist, one of my personal heroes is the Edinburgh-born lawyer Andrew Hamilton. He migrated to Edinburgh at the beginning of the 18th century and distinguished himself as a very successful lawyer. But for me, his most significant case was the defense of a newspaper printer who was charged with seditious libel. Now, that was then an offense against the king, no less. When he won against all the odds, there was a bench judge who was on the king's side, and et cetera, et cetera. It wasn't simply a victory for journalism and newspaper publishing. It was actually a victory for free speech and all that actually means in a democracy.
Wow.
That was in 1735, and it established that truth is a defense against accusations of libel. And it's actually often cited as the beginning of America's liberty. Hamilton himself is quoted as saying, "Freedom of the press is the best cause. It is the cause of liberty, both of exposing and opposing arbitrary power by speaking and writing the truth." Journalism then was still very much in its infancy, and the case firmly established the principle of the freedom of the press, which of course we hacks still very much cherish today. Then in the chapter Reaching for the Tsars, there's an extraordinary story about three doctors from a tiny village in the southwest of Scotland who successively found a way to St. Petersburg to serve Russia's Catherine the Great and other members of the royal household.
Wow.
They became their personal physicians and later helped to set up some sort of semblance of universal health service throughout Russia.
Hmm.
And never actually got to the bottom of the connection between that village and Catherine the Great. It's something I'd like to dig into much more. Then, although I don't actually retell the Robert Burns story, I was actually intrigued by the influence he clearly had on later writers and even presidents of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
John Steinbeck, for example, paraphrased one of his lines from Ode to a Mouse: "The best laid schemes of mice and men gang after Gray," for the title of his novel Of Mice and Men. Then Bob Dylan cited Burns as his greatest inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And quoted A Red, Red Rose as the lyric that has had the greatest effect on his creative life. There's another fascinating theory that Burns gave the Mexicans their gringo, which of course means American. Mexicans had Scots mercenaries in a U.S. cavalry unit singing Gringo the Rashazo at the Alamo. That was in 1836.
Wow.
It's passed into the language now, which is fascinating.
It is.
But for me, perhaps the ultimate tribute to Burns comes from Abraham Lincoln. He was always saying Scott was his favourite poet, and he could actually recite most of his work from memory. But then when he was asked to toast the immortal memory at the Burns supper his response was, "I cannot frame a toast to Burns, because I can say nothing worthy of his generous heart and transcending genius." That's an astonishing tribute.
My love is like a red, red rose. It's newly sprung in June. My heart is like a melody that sweetly plays its tune. This fair art thou, my bonny lad, so deep in love am I, and I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas gang dry. Till all the seas gang dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun, and I shall love thee still, my dear, though the sands of life shall run. But fare thee well, my only love, and fare thee well.
Well, your book is certainly comprehensive in its coverage, yet you say at the beginning that it shouldn't be considered exhaustive. Who would you consider to be the perfect audience, and what feedback have you already received on it?
Well, I've got various audiences in mind, as always, as you usually have. The first and by far the biggest are the millions of Scots expats all around the world. I think the book can feed their natural patriotism and allow them a little bit of extra swagger among their neighbours, whether in America or elsewhere in the world. I'd also dearly love it to be a sort of primer in schools and colleges. I think it would be marvellous if students could use some of the stories as triggers for further research
sure.
on some of the people. As to feedback, that's been really encouraging. One fellow writer has described the book as a masterwork. Now, that's not quite the same as a masterpiece, of course,
yeah.
but it blew me nicely, thank you very much.
Oh yeah.
Another one describes it as a remarkable cultural feat. Every page is revelation. And he, by the way, is English. But my favourite editor is Kenneth Roy of the Scottish Review, And he says it's a moving testament to Scottish influence and achievement. I don't know whether you know the Rampant Scotland website. That says Jock Gallagher writes in a racy style while packing the 450 pages full of memorable facts and figures. Celebrate Scotland has actually used several extracts of the book. And then Scotland's biggest newspaper, which is the Sunday Mail, gave the book a full-page splash. And dozens of Scottish local newspapers have picked up stories, the ones relevant to their areas. I picked up a review on Amazon, which says, I was given this book for Christmas, and what a mine of information it is. What an ingenious and creative lot the Scots are. Just the book to add spice to the great independence debate.
So, in a nutshell then, what is Scotland's enduring legacy to the world?
A nutshell is just a bit restricting.
Yeah.
But let me offer you a couple of quick quotes. If one took the Scots out of the world, it would fall apart. That's from the National Geographic magazine. And then there's another from the former chief executive of the British Library, which, of course, is an impeccable source of information. And he says, Scotland has 0.1% of the world's population, but is responsible for the publication of 1% of the world's scientific papers. That's a multiple of 10, of course. And then he says, Scotland is third in the world for research papers per head of the population. I think that's not a bad legacy.
After writing such a book, what do you turn to next? Do you have projects in the pipeline?
What's in the pipeline immediately is a rest. It's been a really hard slog. It was easy to write in the first place, but then checking and making sure that I had all the dates and facts right was you know, a nightmare. So I need a decent break from beating up the keyboard. In the short time, I'm going to be writing some newspaper pieces about the 70 Scots who were on the VC during the First World War. That's to tie in with the 100th anniversary later this year. I've also got a television feature in mind on Alan Pinkerton. He's the first private eye who fled from the Gorbals in Glasgow to America, ended up creating the Pinkerton Detective Agency, foiled a plot to assassinate Abe Lincoln, and his reward was an appointment as head of the brand new Secret Service that Lincoln was setting up at the time.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with Simply Scottish about your book, and I trust that my listeners will order a copy. Is the best way Amazon? Is that the way to get
it? Amazon, and then, you know, there are various specifically American outlets and all the rest of it.
Sure.
But Amazon is a very good starting point, of course.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Have a nice new year.
You too, Jock. Take care.
Thank you.
That's it for this edition of Simply Scottish. For more episodes, visit simplyscottish.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And if you enjoy the music on the show, enter our monthly music giveaway to win a Scottish album of your choice from a catalogue of over 4,000, courtesy of musicscotland.com. Enter via Facebook or at simplyscottish.com. We'll conclude with music from Eamon Coyne and Chris Drever. From their album Story Map, this is Farewell to Stromness. The story goes that as the whalers left Stromness in the Orkney Islands, the pubs in town would empty and the drinkers would fill the bay with this song as they waved goodbye to their visitors. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again soon for more of All Things Scottish.
Come, come, my kind comrades, once more let us join. Once more your fine voices.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
We all meet again. The time is advancing when I must away. A I bid you a farewell for many long days. Likewise, pretty fair maids of every degree, long in vain will I wish for your kind company. So farewell to Stromness, since I must away. I'll leave my best wishes to one who there stays. May fortune protect her and with her remain. May she never want a friend till I see her again. To all pleasure, adieu for a while. When the winter is over, sweet summer will smile. Wherever I do wander, by the land or by sea, I will always remember your kind company. The mountain valleys of Orkney, farewell. If ever I return again, there's no one can tell. You pretty fair maids who happy live here, while away on the ocean my course I must steer. So farewell to Stromness, since I must away. I bid you a farewell for many long days. May fortune protect her that's loyal and true. Here's a health, peace and plenty, farewell. So farewell to Stromness, since I must away. I bid you a farewell for many long days. May fortune protect her that's loyal and true. Here's a health, peace and plenty, farewell.